Assalamualaikum. Well, welcome everyone back. We're here closing on the near the end of the first parak of Maseiros Yesharim, this very fundamental perspective, this paradigm on life. And as it closes in the end, a good opportunity to recap where we've been and some of the core idea that Ramchal has laid out for us and the many applications that we've seen so far. And we'll leverage that to move forward. We saw he opened with a core paradigm, a way of looking at life in this world as part of a larger two-stage reality, recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us as in an act of love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. He has no needs. He created us in order to be native to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in order that we can be beneficiaries of the greatest good possible. And Ramchal explained, rooted in Rav Sadia Gaon and ultimately in the words of Chazal, that for that reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates us and Olam Haba, which is a context designed, engineered for optimal delivery of Tov, of goodness, of pleasure beyond what we can imagine this world. Because this world was not designed for delivery of goodness, this world was instead designed as an arena of challenge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the universe, the pleasure is that much greater when it's something that we have ourselves created. We are to the extent can be the masters of our destiny. If we can create that Tov of Olam Haba, we will enjoy that much more. And so that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a first context in which we operate, and that's Olam Hazeh, which was designed to be the ultimate Olam HaNisayon. And then looking over what we've seen in the parak so far, he's presented, I would say, five or six applications for this core concept, for this core paradigm. He began by pointing out that it follows from this in paragraph A, Nafmi number one, follows from this that the greatest goodness, the greatest pleasure possible is connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in paragraph A, he pointed out, but then it makes a lot of sense that we ought to invest in Olam Hazeh, and working hard in the self-control necessary to build an extraordinary Olam Haba. And then he moved on in paragraph 9 to a second major point, and that was to recognize that that's why Olam Hazeh is so full of challenges. In other words, it's not just a one-dimensional better or worse, but all sorts of different situations in life. Some seem more pleasant, less pleasant, more money, less money, more peace of mind, less peace of mind. Every situation that Kajal puts us in presents its own new challenges and opportunities. Now, for me, number three, he pointed out, beginning in paragraph Yeralef, was to realize that it says something not only about us in Olam Haba and us in Olam Hazeh, but it says something about Olam Hazeh in general. To recognize that the entire universe that we see was created for us. It was created to enable us to be challenged and hopefully to succeed. And to realize that means that here there's certainly Kabbalistic overtones, that if we do Averis, we're spiritually degrading not only ourselves, but the entire universe. And if we do mitzvahs, we spiritually elevate not only ourselves, but the entire world. And a corollary of that is to recognize that the greatest satisfaction, so to speak, that any object can have is to service us in living our purpose, because its purpose, the purpose of the stone, the purpose of the car, the purpose of the house, the purpose of the mountain, is to enable people to be challenged and hopefully to grow and do the right thing. Nafkamina number four, the next two Nafkaminas, four and five, which begin in paragraph Zayin in your test, are core questions of understanding. Understanding, making sense of why life is so challenging, and making sense why we have a neshama. Ramchal pointed out both of those only make sense once you realize that what you see is not what you get. It only makes sense once you realize there's far more to our lives and to our existence than Olam Hazeh alone. Olam Hazeh is a critical piece of the story, but not the only. And let's pick up with paragraph Chav Beis within. Again, if you're looking at we're near two-thirds of the way through the first paragraph of Maseiros Yesharim. I'll pick up with the text now, and if you're looking Safari edition, it's paragraph Chav Beis. And he wraps up these ideas. Ultimate purpose was far more than momentary status here. Our ultimate purpose, our ultimate status, our status in Olam Haba. So we understand well why we have such a sublime, extraordinary, luxury neshama. I'm just driving around the country, bumpy country roads, but why do I have a Maserati? But why do I have this my neshama, the finest luxury item? But we understand why it's such an extraordinarily engineered neshama, because there's more to life than just Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is meant to get us somewhere. Ki lo ra'oi la'avot. Uva yuchal adam mekabel ha'sachar v'mekamo u'zmano. It makes sense to work here toward what my neshama wants. And through being a combination of neshama and guf, I'll be able to resonate deeply with the extraordinary, unimaginable goodness of Olam Haba when I get there. So yidavar nim'as ha'neshot ha'olam Olam Hazeh. Ba'adra ne'av v'nechma zimena v'zeh pasht. It'll be an extraordinary experience, my neshama. Okay. And now, he says in paragraph Chav, that wraps up what we've spoken about so far. And now he's going to make it practical. And if you'd like, this is the sixth nafkamina. It's touched on points you already said. But now, as a paragraph draws to a close, he's beginning to put these ideas, move them towards practice. Because you remember that this paragraph, the whole paragraph, is meant to be this philosophical background based on which, starting with paragraph Bays, we'll talk about practical steps. So here we go, paragraph Chav Gimel. Now that we know this, now that we understand this paradigm and begin to appreciate how it changed the way we look at ourselves in Olam Hazeh, the way we look at ourselves in Olam Haba, and make self of Olam Haba as a whole, of Olam Hazeh as a whole, of our neshama. Now, Navin Miyad, Chomer HaMitzvah Asher Aleinu, we immediately begin to appreciate the vast importance, the gravity of the mitzvahs that we're expected to fulfill. We begin to recognize the preciousness, the magnitude of the avodah that Kadosh Baruch Hu has entrusted us with. These are the means to true goodness. These are the means to true perfection, to Olam Haba. Beyond compare, Asher Biladamo Yisrakal. Without sense of the mitzvahs may seem small, but recognize that they are keys to extraordinary things. So right away what he's saying is that one of the practical aspects of this Olam Hazeh Olam Haba paradigm is to realize that every little mitzvah counts. Every little situation matters. Every little nisayon is of far greater value. Sometimes we think, it's really late, and then I realize I didn't go to Maariv, and I schlep out to late Maariv. Or I was going to send the text, and then I catch myself before I hit the send button. It's a little bit insulting to the person I'm sending to, a little bit of lashon hara about a third party. Like, I may say to myself, what's the big deal? Who really cares? Who's really going to know? So a chance to be a little more honest, a little less honest. Sometimes I say to myself, no one will even know. What does it matter? That's a very common nisayon. And that is the words. Those are the words of the Yetzer Hara. Everything matters. A little mitzvah, I feel like, what is it? What have I accomplished already? I'll do a little mitzvah. What have I accomplished already? A little extra self-control. I'll avoid a little aver. Does it really matter? Absolutely beyond imagination. Because every little mitzvah, it may look little here. They consider the vast magnitude of Olam Haba. Every little mitzvah generates Olam Haba. Every little bit of added self-control to live the way Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to live is generating vast, vast, unimaginable quantities of extraordinary Olam Haba. And he begins to realize every little mitzvah matters tremendously. And he says, Ulam Yadua, here in paragraph Chav Dalad, we know, Ki in Atachas Magia, Mikalach Kibbutz, Kalim Tamashen Insu, Meshashim Shu Lagio. If there are a couple of tools I need to build something, so each one matters. To get to that goal, I need all the different parts. And now that I need all the parts, it takes a step further. Because he kolach, not just a question of do I have those pieces in place or not, but because he kolachem tzam v'shimusham, kin yatachas and lo nalot mehem. is not just a binary, I did the mitzvah, I didn't do the mitzvah, but what's the quality of what I did? It's going to be in proportion. The more I, the better the means, the better the ends. Any small divergence in the means that generate those ends, you're going to see every little divergence will play out in multiplied fashion in the ends. The Zeb Borah, let's give an example. A mashal, he gives another mashal. But let me give you the following mashal. To think back for a moment to the first time you threw a frisbee. You can remember the first time you ever threw a frisbee. Some people may have had beginner's luck, and you threw it, and it landed exactly where you wanted to go. But I think for most of us, if you can remember the first time you threw a frisbee, it probably looked like this. You took a frisbee, you threw it, and they have arced up nice and high, going high, it's looking great, reaches the peak, but then instead of continuing down and straight, it inexplicably sort of hooks down into the side. You threw it up, it went up beautifully, and at the peak, it sort of veered down to the right. Some of us still have that experience in front of frisbees, and some have gotten past that. Why does that happen? And what does that do in the show? The reason why that happens, I think, just practically, is the frisbee will fly straight if you hold the frisbee absolutely flat, parallel to the ground. But often, until you train yourself, and you sort of hold the frisbee loosely, so it's a little bit at an angle. It's a little, you know, off by 10, 15 degrees, not absolutely parallel to the ground. So it may rise straight, but it gets to the top, that little divergence, you know, makes it fall to the side, veer very far to the side. And here's something you got to think about. How much divergence was, if you can fix this in your head, how much did your frisbee, when you're holding your hand before you throw it, how much does it diverge from being absolutely flat? You know, it's an inch or two off, if that. And then you throw it, how far does it fall from where you intended to fall? Could be 20, 30, 40 feet. A divergence of an inch or two in the way you threw it ends up generating a divergence of 20, 30, 40 feet in terms of where it lands. That's an immense ratio. That's a tremendous ratio. That's a multiple factor of hundreds. How come? It was just off by an inch or two in the way I threw it. Why doesn't it just land an inch or two off? The answer is obvious. It's exactly what the Ramchal is saying here. That little bit of, that little flick of a wrist, when I throw it, that generates all the 50, 60, 70, 80 feet of flight. The entire flight of the frisbee, long flight of the frisbee, is generated by that one little toss, the one little flick of the wrist that leaves my hand. So then it stands to reason, Ramchal said, that little flick of the wrist is generating all of this flight, and any small divergence in the flick of the wrist, in the throwing, will be vastly multiplied in the outcome. And that's why, if I was off by an inch or two in the way I held it when I threw it, it's going to generate many tens of feet of divergence of where it went. And so it is with Om Haba. Every small divergence in the mitzvah, these mitzvahs look small, but they're the generators of vast the mitzvahs Om Hazeh, the generators of vast Om Haba. Any small divergence in the mitzvah will be vastly multiplied in terms of the impact on the quality of Olam Haba. And let's say that positively. Every little improvement in whether I do a mitzvah, every little improvement in how I do a mitzvah, has vast positive impact. A little bit of extra focus for another 10 seconds of the course of Shemoneh Esrei. Taking one or two brachas of the course of the day to just think for 5, 10 seconds of what it is I'm saying. Just to think what the words I'm saying. Just a couple of moments of genuine gratitude for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say bracha. Genuine recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say bracha. Just a little opportunity. I drive through the toll booth. I take a couple of seconds just to converse, to say hello, to say good morning to the toll collector, to recognize the sound of him. Small things. They seem like small things, but they have vast consequences. A 1-inch improvement in how I hold the frisbee and I throw it could improve my accuracy by tens of feet. Ramchal gives a different example, a different mashal. He talks about weighing gold. You recognize how valuable gold is. You go shopping for a diamond. A couple of grams could cost me hundreds of dollars because a diamond is so valuable. Every little change matters greatly. And so he says, then we understand the value, the significance of diktuk b'halacha, of being careful to not only to do mitzvahs and to avoid avarice, but to do them well and right, to do them with precision, to do them with quality, and to have a healthy perspective on means and ends. Paragraphs Chavav Chavzayin, Iker Metzias Adam Olam, the ends, the ultimate goal, the objective, the Tayy Mitzvah La'avod V'Amod B'Nisayim, to practice self-control, to adopt the survival of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, to shape myself into a more Olam Haba resonant person, into a more God resonant person by doing this. And where's the role of the pleasure of this world? That is, we don't deny it, we don't run away from it, but we see it as means to a greater end. Hanos Olam, ideally, we should see them as Ezer V'Siyua. They're supporting the ultimate goal. The goal of life is not the larger house. The goal of life is not the better car. The goal of life is not the better steak. But we do see that the pleasure and joy of Olam Hazeh can support the greater goal of Avos Hashem. For instance, V'Shiyelo Nachas Ruach V'Yishavdas. I'm living with comfort, so that puts me in a better frame of mind. It allows me, you know, when the basic aspects of physical existence are satisfied, then I can focus my mind on what's more valuable. So if the physical parts of my life are taken care of, I'm living in relative comfort, so then I have the headspace to focus on what's beyond the here and now. And it said, the goal that I'm growing into is over time. This is not something I wake up tomorrow and I'm there. But a long-term goal, ultimately, over the course of a lifetime, is to develop the sort of person that called Pinyasa Raklabori is Barach. That my ultimate drive is exclusively my relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. No other tachos, there's no other end goal other than that. And at every action over time, again, this is not something I can't beat myself up because I'm not here now, but the long-term goal over the course of years and decades, Mir Hashem, is to grow to the place where the ain shom tachos acher b'chomas v'sheyasim katan v'gadol v'skarev elav yizbarach. That every action, every decision, every even little action is driven by how is this, I'm doing it because it furthers it furthers my relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. It furthers Lishbar Kol Mechitzah Nafsikas Beinu Lebein Kono. It continues to break down the barriers to law between me and Kadosh Baruch Hu. To the extent Sheyimashech Acharav Yisbarach Mamish Kibarz La'Achash Emesh of it. The long-term vision, the dream, is to be drawn almost magnetically to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it Evan Hashal Eves is a magnet. Whatever can help that. He says in Tariq, if there's something in this world that can help me enhance that, I'm on it. And called Mash Yuha Lachshov Shu Menilaza, I think something to get in the way of my ultimate goal. I'm running the other way. Because after all, that's why I'm here. I to the extent that over months and years and decades, I developed greater and greater clarity. Purpose. So of course it makes the most sense to invest my life around that. And then he says, then here the closing line. Paragraph on the page. Achashir Adamu is Barer Etzleinu Mitzas Hakal Hazeh. Now that we've spent this parak. Looking back. In summation, we spent this parak on Yediyah and Beirah. It harks back to the beginning of the parak. To know and to have great clarity. Amitas HaKol Hazeh. To know the MS of this klal, this paradigm of Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. and how it plays out, not only in terms of making sense of life, but recognizing the gravitas of mitzvahs, the unbelievable value of mitzvahs, and the value of the details. Once we have a sense of purpose, so then now we're ready to go talk about this step by step. When we ended the Akdama, he had said he wanted to adopt Pinchas Ben Yair's step-by-step progression as an organizing principle of the Sefer. We took off a paradigm just to understand what the goal is and to get a sense of the bigger picture, the paradigm that drives our lives, of Al Mazel, of Allah above, of Kodesh Baruch Hu, creating us in chesed, in love, lehetiv lano, and to understand that we don't always fully see that because right now we're looking at Al Mazel, but Al Mazel above together, that picture is a true, deep expression of Avas Hashem Eleinu. Now we're ready to talk about this step by step. The Zehiros will lead to Zrizos, which will lead to Nikias, which will lead in turn to Precious, and Tahara, Chasidus, Anava, Yerzchet, and ultimately Kedusha. He says, now we're ready to go one by one. Atan Nevarei, Mechad Echad, Pesach, Ishmael. We're ready to work on them step by step, one by one. We'll be there next week. We'll be there the next time we meet. We will pick up with Perek Beis. We're going to start now to get really practical, to talk about breaking out these ideas into everyday life. Just as a practical, speaking of practicalities, I'm not yet sure whether I have a conflict. I most likely have a conflict next week. Next week, Tuesday, a chesed event opportunity that we'll be involved in with Talmidim. I assume that people would rather stick to Tuesdays, and if that's correct, so then assuming that I can't call in next Tuesday, we'll skip next Tuesday and in return continue the following Tuesday. In case that's not the case, I'll be in touch by email about whether we're on for next Tuesday or not. If there's strong interest in getting together a different week, please be in touch with either me or Morty.